Welcome to the first ever episode of Enjoy Illinois, Let's Go. I'm your host, Katie Sheehan, a lifelong Illinoisan, and I'm so glad you're here. We created this podcast to help unlock the amazing travel experiences that Illinois has to offer. In each episode, we'll sit down with fascinating people, from chefs and celebrities to passionate locals, to help you discover every corner of this state. Today, we're kicking things off with someone who knows Illinois flavor better than almost anyone. She's a chef, a Food Network host, and Chicago legend. It's Gail Gand. Are you ready? Let's go. She's a two-time James Beard Award winner, a Food Network pioneer, the pastry chef behind one of Chicago's most celebrated fine dining restaurants, and a teacher who has spent decades sharing her love of food and of Illinois with everyone from world leaders to first-time pie makers. Gail Gand has built a remarkable culinary career, and we are just delighted to have you with us here today. Gail, welcome to Enjoy Illinois. Let's go.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and so happy to be in Illinois where I grew up and decided to even move back.
So let's start from sort of the beginning. What are your earliest memories of food and cooking?
Making pies with my mom. She was like the neighborhood pie baker. Not because her pies were the best in the world, but because she had bad circulation, so cold hands, so could handle pie dough and make these elaborate lattice top pies that no one else would, you know, ever dare to try to do. And she taught them to me, and I have the same cold hands, which is part of my secret to my success, or maybe not so much a secret. But making pies with my mom, we have this family rolling pin that my great grandmother brought over from Budapest. Uh-huh. And it's been passed. I actually have it right next to me now if you want to see it.
Let's see it. Yeah.
We've passed it down from generation to generation. This is it. It's a very like sort of fine pin. So different looking than the heavier French ones. But this was always either the pin that, you know, I would threaten people with or the pin that we would make pies with. I was going through TSA once and I had this in my carry-on. And the guy recognized me. He's like, oh, you're that girl from Food Network. You're that pastry chef. Pulls this out of my carry-on and says, you'll have to check this. I'm like, why? He said, well, it could be considered a weapon.
Yeah.
And I started to think maybe that's why my great-grandmother brought it over on the ship.
Hey, you know? Yeah.
For protection.
Dual purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's my earliest memory, I think, is just making pies with my mom.
That's really special. When did you realize in your career that cooking was going to be your career?
You know, it was kind of a problem. My dad was a musician and I performed with him most of my life. And in high school, I picked up silver and gold smithing and found that I've got these like hands of a surgeon, but I also have dyslexia and can't really like read the surgeon's manuals. So I ended up going to art school to major in silver and goldsmithing. And while I was there, I started waitressing. And when I got in that environment, that was when I was from 19, I start realizing like, what is going on here? This is such a rich experience. We're nurturing people. We're entertaining them. You know, there's chemistry and physics and art and craft and all this dance going on here. So that was when I discovered it, which is difficult because that was like freshman year and my dad had paid for 4 years of college and I wanted to switch my focus. So it wasn't really well accepted on that first phone call when I revealed I'd found my passion, I'd found my love.
So when you were going into silversmithing and goldsmithing, was the intention to like make jewelry or?
Yeah. And actually in high school, I took what's now called a gap year. We didn't have a name for it back then, but I took actually 2 years between high school and college because I graduated from high school in 3 years. So I had sort of an extra year there. I worked as a diamond setter and as a jeweler in Highland Park. So had already been working professionally in the field, but wanted to do more artsy pieces than just like repair five, you know, carat diamond rings.
So is there any overlap between that work and the work that you're doing now?
Definitely. I mean, the manual dexterity, the, you know, fine motor skills that being a silver and goldsmith requires are exactly the same thing as a pastry chef. So in my mind, it wasn't much of a transition. It was just learning the physics and chemistry in the world of food and ingredients, and bowing down to them and relinquishing and accepting the what you can and can't do. And then that additional with visual arts, you're dealing with like two or three of the main senses. With cooking, it's all five. You've got smell in there, you've got taste, you've even got sound, you've got audio, like the crunch of something. So it was sort of a more complex art form than what I was, studying in my lofty art school.
Well, that's fascinating. I mean, you on the surface, you would not think that there would be so many parallels, but that's interesting.
No, and just, things taking a long time, piping 100 truffles and then dipping 100 truffles. It's a lot like, trying to set 50 10-point diamonds.
Yeah, wow. So now you're known first and foremost as a pastry chef. What is it about dessert that really drew you in?
What I've concluded after thinking about it for many years is I didn't choose this. It chose me. So I was involved in, all parts of the restaurant, front of house, back of house, hotline, just being a prep girl, salad girl, whatever, garmanger. And one of my chefs I worked for in Rochester, New York, his name is Greg Broman. He's still cooking there in Rochester. He said to me he needed a pastry chef because he hated the one he had, wanted to fire him. And could I come and cover, like for 6 months, could I come cover the pastry department at this fine dining, fancy pants hotel restaurant, French restaurant at the Strathallan Hotel? And I said, that's where they always stick women, and I don't want to get typecast. And he's like, listen, just do me this favor, just like 6 months. It's all I'm asking. I just, need someone to cover. And I had worked for him all during college. So this is after college. And I said, okay. He said, admit it, you really want to be in the kitchen anyway. I was working in my studio making jewelry, minding my own business. And I worked in the pastry department for 6 months. I had a little assistant. And after 6 months, he comes to me. He's like, okay, I know I promised you it was only 6 months. You want to go to the hotline now? And I'm like, can you just give me like 6 more months? Just kept like 6-monthing him to death to this day. We have dinner once in a while, and he'll say, are you ready now to get out of the pastry kitchen, to get out of the cake box? And I'm like, just give me a little more. So it just, I was well suited for it. It is a lot of attention to detail, and my OCD can really like celebrate itself in there. So it's just, it was a really good match. So I think we're married for life.
So you've cooked in so many different places. I know you just mentioned New York, I think London, France. So I want to hear more about where all you've been. But what strikes us is you came back to Illinois, and we want to know what brought you home too.
How much time do you have? Yeah, I went to school at La Varenne in Paris. A couple of years ago, I cooked with World Central Kitchen in Poland and Ukraine right at the beginning of the war. One of the nice things about my art and my craft is not only does it help people celebrate special occasions, whether it's a wedding cake or a birthday cake, or here's the dessert that, the engagement ring is in when someone wants to propose marriage, but also it's what heals people when they're at their worst. I did cook in New York in the 80s. I cooked in, I lived in England for 3 years in the 90s, 2 years in the countryside up in the Midlands, about 100 miles north of London, and then a year in London proper. So yeah, the nice thing about this field is it takes you anywhere you want to go. I've cooked on cruise ships in Italy and Alaska and Greece. Like I said, at cooking for World Central Kitchen in Poland, it's a universal language and skill. And no matter where I go and cook, I have something in common with the people who are preparing food there. I love that.
So what made you think, okay, Chicago's the place I'm gonna call home after all the places you've seen, some pretty special places, what made you come back to Chicago?
The food scene is really part of what made me come back to Chicago. And I checked out California to see if that's where I wanted to land after, going to college and living in New York City. But realizing the pockets of ethnic communities and neighborhoods we have in Chicago, plus, I mean, we're on the lake, which as someone who grew up in Chicago, you're always sort of aware of where's the lake, where's the water. Like we tell directions by north, south, east, and west. And you're always wanting to know, like, which way's east? Oh, it's where the lake is. Like that's my compass. So I missed the lake and I missed the four seasons as well. I know proper winters are rough on some people, but I still love them. It's how I tell time. So I needed to live somewhere where there were four seasons, where there's, a variety of types of food. But, and I could go to New York. Like everyone's so much nicer in Chicago. Like I noticed, like we make eye contact. We joke about Midwest nice, but it's a real thing. People just connect in Chicago and in Illinois in a way that you don't see on the East Coast.
Well, that's awesome. We're so glad that you came back to Illinois. Let's talk about True, quintessential Chicago restaurant. What made that so special for you?
It's hard to put it into words. Just it was so intentional, that restaurant. We had a mission statement and we returned to it all the time. We knew what we were trying to do. We were trying to do fine dining, which Chicago had and had a history of. We had Jean Blanchet with Le Francais, and then we had Charlie Trotter, both pioneers and important archetypes in our Chicago food scene. And it's like, what do we have to offer? And we wanted to do fine dining with a sense of humor. So
Love
the
it.
fact that people felt a little intimidated at fine dining restaurants, we wanted to make light of it and kind of give them a way in so that they didn't feel so intimidated, so they could have fun. We're like, for that much money, you should be having fun.
I can tell you have the gift of gab, and many people know you from Sweet Dreams on the Food Network, your show. How did you land that role? I mean, I can see you're a
I know.
natural.
People are always asking me, like, how do you get a show on the Food Network? And the way that I got it is not how you get a show on the Food Network. Originally, I had come out with my first book, and I was, on, there used to be book tour where you'd go and do like satellite media tours and stuff. So I was on some show on Food Network demoing one recipe out of the book and doing a little interview. And from that, they invited me back to be on a couple different things. And I ended up being on Sarah Moulton's show.
Oh,
She had
yes.
like 2 hours to fill, I think, every day. So I was on her show maybe every couple months, and I would just do dessert. She'd do the rest of the menu. But the thing was, we were both really short. So her kitchen counters were 3 inches lower than normal. And it was the first time I'd ever been at a countertop that fit me. So I think there was sort of this extra exhale that I don't usually get to have in a kitchen because it like fit me. Like my elbows weren't up in the air when I was shopping. And we just clicked. And she was nice enough to have me on her show whenever I was in New York. So if I was going to be in New York, I'd always call the network and say, I'm going to be there. Can I book a date on Sarah's show before my calendar fills up? And they always would say yes. And after about 2 years of that, I called and the response was, no, we don't have any space for you on her show. And I'm like, really? Because I'm going to be there. And, I called you first. And I'm like trying to understand what happened. They're like, yeah, we don't have any room for you on Sarah's show. And I thought, God, who did I, did I say something bad? Or, and they like let me sit there and wonder on the phone, and this pregnant
Form,
pause is happening. And they said, yeah, we don't have any room for you on Sarah's because we want to offer you your own show.
Oh my goodness.
And I wanted to scream, who wouldn't, but also didn't want them to know I wanted to scream. So I'm known at Food Network apparently as this like really savvy businesswoman because what I ended up saying to them was, I'm going to have to get back to you on that.
Ooh, yeah,
Like
play
I
hard to
sort of was
get.
like, oh, that's nice. Let me call you tomorrow. And I like get off the phone. Because I need to scream and say, like, oh, show the food network. But they thought I was being like cagey. And so I did call
Well,
back the next day, calm with the list of right questions you're supposed to ask. But so it just, again, like I didn't ask for it, it just picked me. And that's sort of my mantra or what I've noticed in my life is like, just pay attention to what's being offered to you because it's a lot of good stuff. And you just have to say yes.
It seems like you've been in several great situations because you've put yourself there. And like you said, the counter height was already right for you.
It was the first ever all dessert, all pastry show that any network had ever done. So
Oh, wow.
they felt it was a big risk at the time. Like, who's going to want to watch cake decorating, will
Everyone.
they? Yeah. And,
Everyone.
that's the number one thing, like, watched on YouTube is cake
Yeah.
decorating.
Well, let's shift gears for a second. This is a travel podcast, and our listeners are always looking for great restaurant recommendations when they're on the go. So we want to dig deep into some of your favorite spots in the Chicago area. Can we start with what is your favorite spot for special occasions?
There's a go-to place that I, always call and always make a reservation. For me, it's a French restaurant, so feel like you're going to France, but you don't need to bring your passport, which I love that about it. It's in Lincoln Park, so a really pretty neighborhood in Chicago. It's called Mon Ami Gabi. It's been there a long time. The name means a friend of Gabby, and Gabby or Gabino Saltellino, again another like iconic Chicago chef who's done a bunch of restaurants here. The one that's lasted forever, it seems, is Mon Ami Gabi, and you just feel like you're walking into a little French bistro. They often have turbot, which you can't find anywhere else, or sole meunière, which again is sort of a rare but traditional dish. So traditional French cooking. But for me, I just feel so comfortable and well fed. There's bread on the table you break with your hands. There's a rosé cart, and I love rosé wines. And they're just very welcoming. And it's a great neighborhood if you're going to other things as well. Sometimes we're just catching a special meal there because we're going to a lecture somewhere else, or a gallery opening somewhere else. So
I'm
that's
adding
my
that one to my
recommendation.
list of places to go for sure.
You gotta go. It's in the Belden Stratford Hotel, so it feels kind of regal just walking in the
Oh,
lobby of the
yeah.
hotel, and then it's just off the lobby.
And Chicago also has a good range when it comes to ethnic cuisine. Do you have any specific spots that are always calling your name on that front?
Let's see. Well, lately we've been going to Georgian restaurants because, that's one of the hot trends right now. But also, I'm Hungarian, so the fact that I can find a Hungarian restaurant, makes me really happy. And Sather's too comes to mind,
Oh,
which
yeah.
has been here forever. And
Love the
if you want
cinnamon.
to, yeah, if you want, yeah, if you want a cinnamon roll that's a meal, that's where you need to go. But also Swedish cuisine, which, the idea that we have a Swedish hood. Is really, I think, special.
What about a go-to hole-in-the-wall restaurant? Somewhere you go for years, somewhere
So,
you've been?
yeah, well, that takes me out to the suburbs. If you guys don't mind going up north to the suburbs,
Course.
Highwood is
Oh,
this
yeah.
town that is only restaurants practically, Mexican, Italian, more Italian, and some the Italian. So my favorite restaurant, probably a little hole in the wall place, ancient. It's in Highwood. It's called Del Rio. I've been going there since I was 5 years old with my mom. We always sat. There's a front table in the window there, a little like bay window. That's my table if you want to sit at it. And I believe it's third generation now owners. The Picotti family owns it. There's a ravioli al forno that's been on the menu for decades that you'll want to try. It's a spinach stuffed ravioli, but then they bake it in a little gratin dish with like loads of cheese on top. It's very hot. So they usually take it out of that container to cool it off a little bit. But ravioli al forno. And I love to just take their breadsticks and dip them in butter. They just serve like little pats of butter that. That's kind of a ritual for a girlfriend of mine. My friend Karen and I go there and do
I'm
that.
really pretty hungry the more we talk about all
Sorry
this.
about that.
It's
That's my
okay. I
fault.
like it. I like it. As pastry chef, I'm sure it is hard to pick your very favorite. So, are there favorite dessert spots that you have in Chicago that you just must go to every once in a while?
There definitely are places that are calling my name, or so it feels like that. But it depends on the time of day. So if it was morning, I probably would pick that Little French Guy, which is a bakery pastry shop. They do some savory food as well in Highland Park, Illinois, which is north of the city. It's literally run by a little French guy. His viennoiserie are all stellar, outstanding. His eclairs are just what you want them to be. great cup of coffee, which I'm not even a coffee drinker, but I have coffee there. And lately he's been doing this pastry. It's some kind of laminated dough in sort of a ring shape with like baker's cheese in the middle and guava paste on top, which that's my new favorite combo, is like guava with dairy. Just love that. But if I'm looking for like fun daytime adventure, I would go to Pilsen and go to Dolcelandia, which is this candy store, but also other treats there. And it's like a Willy Wonka,
Ooh, fun. Yeah.
really fun stuff. But they have different kinds of like cajeta, which is sort of cooked down, caramelized, evaporated milk, spread between wafers, and just they have the funniest selection of lollipops. There's like a chicken lollipop, like a
Wow.
roast chicken shaped lollipop. They just have the funniest things. They have lollipops that are like spicy and hot.
Yeah.
So Dolcelandia is one
Interesting.
of my
Yeah.
favorite fun places to go. But if it were evening, we've had a day in the city downtown in Chicago. I might go over to the Gage on Michigan Avenue. That's one of my favorite restaurants. Love their Scotch egg, but their desserts are really good. My favorite's probably their sticky toffee pudding. They've
Ooh,
got sort
yeah.
of like an English pub feel. They're sort of pub grub, but upscale. So I think their sticky toffee pudding there would be my favorite. And when I order it, I don't let them bring two spoons. It's only one spoon just for
No
me.
sharing. Well, thank you. Those are some really great ideas. And I feel like I need to go to all of them like today.
You do. You could do it all in one day.
Switching gears again, I see on GailGan.com that you offer recurring cooking classes at Eloah Farm in Lake Forest. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
There's a couple different kinds. They're usually demonstration classes, but occasionally I'll do a hands-on and you'll get your hands dirty and help out a little. But they're usually about 2 hours long. We do three recipes and there's a theme always. Like I've got one coming up that's afternoon tea. So I'll teach them not only all about how to brew a proper cup of tea, that's sort of like just a little extra stuff, and traditionally what's served, but we'll do finger sandwiches, we'll do scones, a couple different kinds, and pastries to go with, because tea, afternoon tea usually has like three courses to it. And because I lived in England, I have
I was gonna
this,
say, yeah.
it's homage to the motherland. But I just did a cheese lovers class, which taught them all about like just how to do, how to serve a cheese course, what to accompany it with, but also how cheese is made. We ate examples of sheep's milk, goat's milk, cow's milk, and then did a recipe with each of those three different milks so they knew how to cook something with it. So there's usually some kind of deep dive. I had a dumplings of the world class.
Oh, cool.
So we did, I mean, every country's got either some kind of like doughy thing they drop into liquid, or some kind of filling that's wrapped in a wrapper that's then dropped into liquid or steamed or fried. So we did pot stickers. We did Italian nudi, which is like a naked dumpling filling that you, with ricotta and spinach, you drop into boiling water. And we did chicken and dumplings, which is sort of the American version. It's, almost like a biscuit that's buried into chicken pot pie filling. So that kind of thing. I've got some spring produce classes come up. So they're not all
Not all
dessert.
desserts, yeah.
Yeah, I do savory stuff as well.
That's awesome. What do you like the most about teaching?
The thing I think I like the most about teaching is imparting information and skills to people who felt like they couldn't cook before that. I get people who are like, I'm afraid to fry. I have a fear of frying, like fear of flying, but fear of frying, because I just don't know what I'm doing. And the fact that in 2 hours I can give them enough tools and information and show them stuff that they leave the class saying, oh, what was I afraid of? Like I do pie camp and people have this fear of pie crust. And I know what they're doing wrong. There's like two or three things that everybody mostly is
That's
what they're doing
wrong.
wrong and not getting a flaky crust because of it. So, we drive those home, but by the end of that 2 hour class, they're pie bakers. And
Yeah,
I
that's
have people
amazing.
like they go to tears because they thought like something was wrong with them, that they, it's like not having a green thumb and then getting one. They don't have a white thumb, they think. And I know what they need to know. and I can explain it to them in 2 hours, and they can go home a pie baker.
Beyond the classroom, you've put your cooking skills to work in some pretty meaningful ways too. So, like both volunteering for people who are in real need. Can you talk about some of the work you've done along those lines?
Often I'm donating auction items to charities, so that's one way
Oh,
that
very
I
nice.
can kind of help raise money. I can't write the big check, but I can give my time so someone else will write a big check for my time. So often I'll do like chocolate 101 classes in people's homes, but to, encourage them to support various charities. But the biggest one is working for World Central Kitchen in Poland right at the beginning of the war. At first, I just did a dinner, like pickup dinners with my chef friend Dan Smith from the Hardy Boys and Peter Schoenman, who's another Chicago chef. We decided we needed to do something to help these people, and we felt so helpless. We did Schnitzel Fest,
Oh, yeah.
which used to just be a private dinner we'd do for ourselves. And we were like, what if we offered Schnitzel Fest to the world? So we
Yeah.
sold, I think it was like 280 orders of schnitzel, spetzel. A company donated wine. Wild Roaster in Deerfield donated coffee, and we raised like $15,000 for World Central Kitchen. So I sent in the check and thought, ooh, that'll
Wonderful.
scratch that itch to want to help, and it did not. And I was like, I'm sorry, honey, but I think I have to go to Poland because my, I have a skill set. It's only good for so many things, right? But one of the things that I can do is I can cook, and using it for good really helped me feel a little more like, or helped me feel a little less helpless, I guess.
We have one more tradition before we let you go, and we reserve this for our most special guests. It's the Land of Lincoln Lightning Round. And this is our quick fire segment designed to do one thing, help our listeners start planning their Illinois itinerary right now in real time, from someone who knows this state as well as anybody. That's you. So we're looking for your hot takes. Are you up for it?
Yes, absolutely.
What part of Illinois do you feel the strongest connection to?
Probably the North Shore because that's where I grew up, but also Peoria because that's where my dad's from and my grandparents lived and my cousins lived downstate there or central. So Peoria as well always kind of feels like home to me.
All right, Gail, what is the best Illinois city to visit?
Well, for me, it's Chicago. It's got everything. It's got art, it's got music, it's got food. But I also love Springfield.
What do you like in Springfield?
Probably the focus on Lincoln, the Lincoln Museum and Library is really interesting. There's a beautiful train station, too, like just around the corner from it. There's some good pizza there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, in Springfield.
If you need some recommendations next time you're coming to Springfield, let me know and I'll hook you up. Top hidden gem in Illinois.
I've got a couple of them. Is that okay? So, first one would be Graceland Cemetery, which is on the north side in Chicago. And it's where luminaries are buried, like Mies van der Rohe and Marshall Fields and Sullivan, the architect, is buried there. A lot of Chicago luminaries, like the McCormicks, are there. So you can kind of learn Chicago history by going through Graceland Cemetery, but also just it's beautiful, especially in the fall. So love going there. Also, Frank Lloyd Wright is all over this state. So if you go to Oak Park, where his home and studio is, and just walk up and down that street, you'll see, decades of his style and how it changes. Because there's homes all on that street. But also, if you're down in Springfield, the Dana Thomas House is gorgeous. The stained glass is really important work to see and just a sight. And they do tours.
They do some really nice holiday decorating too. That's always worth going in every year just to see it. It's gorgeous.
I just think he's sort of the quintessential, prairie Midwest architect and important to
For sure.
See what he does.
Yep. Okay. How about your ideal outdoor space or natural area?
Going to Starved Rock downstate. So
Love it.
that's
Yes.
where my family and I would meet up, some from the south of Illinois, some from the north of Illinois. We'd all meet up there, have a really great lunch, and there's like a big old like log cabin building
Yes.
there that you have has a restaurant in it. So we'd have lunch and then go out for a walk. And there's some great history there about a battle that took place that didn't end well. But beautiful surroundings, and it's great any time of year too.
Yes, there's different attractions, eagle watching, the frozen waterfalls. Yes.
Yeah, and there's little cabins there if you want to stay overnight, you can. I never
Yeah.
have, but
Oh,
always
yeah.
wanted to.
I gotta tell you, there's some new tree houses there that they just put on site that are gorgeous. And I've got those on my list of things I must do. Yes, some really
Oh,
cool, trendy
that's
looking tree
great.
houses. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I got to get on the, I'm assuming there's a wait list for them. I got to get on that wait list, definitely.
Okay, favorite place to shop in Illinois?
Woodman's grocery store. Does
Ooh,
that
yeah,
count?
sure.
I'm not like a clothes shopper, but I'm a
Yeah.
grocery shopper. But also Super H Mart, which is the Korean slash
Oh,
Asian
yeah.
market.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of them around, and that's one of my favorites as well.
That's awesome.
Oh, but Chinatown
Oh, yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Ugh, just going up and down the street in Chinatown is so much fun in Chicago.
Is there a book, movie, or TV show that you think captures Illinois spirit really well?
Because it's me and I'm a chef, that
Yeah.
TV show is, of course, The Bear.
Yes.
I feel like not only is it spot on as to what Chicago is like with, showing the L and showing XRT radio as, part of the audio there, and singing praises of Italian beef, but also what the world of fine dining is like. So for me, that's the show that kind of
Oh, yeah.
embodies Chicago and embodies, what our state's about.
We hope it inspires a lot of culinary trips to Chicago, too. I think it does.
I think, we know we're a culinary destination, but it's nice to be able to share that with the rest of the world.
Yep. What's something a first-time Illinois visitor simply cannot miss?
I think driving along Lakeshore Drive would be one of them. That's just a beautiful view. And also seeing Navy Pier with the Ferris wheel, which was recreated. So that would be, just trying to take in that coastline. Our lake, it feels like an ocean. It's so big. It even moves like an ocean, like it moves slowly. It's
Yes.
got that silky, soft look to it. So spend some time along the lake.
Yep, it's pretty gorgeous. All right. Well, amazing answers, one and all, Gilgen. This has been such a delight. Thank you very much for joining us on Enjoy Illinois. Let's go.
Can't wait to get out to all these spots again. I gotta go see those tree houses.
Thanks for listening to Enjoy Illinois, Let's Go, produced by the Illinois Office of Tourism. I'm your host, Katie Sheehan, and we hope to see you soon here in the land of Lincoln. You can find us on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and pretty much anywhere you like to listen. When you're ready to start exploring, head to enjoyillinois.com, your one-stop shop for trip inspiration, destination guides, and much more.